Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oh, the familiar names.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President-elect Barack Obama has tapped some cabinet members and advisors charged with tackling this fallout from the financial crisis. They are names you've probably heard before. Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary, check. Larry Summers, National Economic Council, check. Paul Volcker, to chair an advisory panel on stabilizing financial markets. You heard right, Paul Volcker. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning the former Fed chief for most of the 1980s will be introduced at a news conference this morning. It'll be Obama's third such news conference this week. Orders to U.S. factories for big-ticket manufactured goods plunged in October 6.2%, the largest amount in 2 years. Americans also cut back on spending by the largest amount since the September 11th terrorist attacks. Consumer spending fell by a full percent last month. And the Washington Post reports today the number of Americans using food stamps to buy groceries was expected to pass 30 million this month. That's a new record. Numbers from the Agriculture Department are expected soon. Let's travel across the pond. The European Union is looking at an economic stimulus plan, a combination of tax cuts and investments. From Berlin, Kyle James reports.
The plan to kickstart Europe's flagging economy is expected to total almost $170 billion. Brussels doesn't have the power to impose any kind of stimulus plan, but it's telling its members they need to sign on to the program and act quickly, says Simon Tilford of the Center for European Reform.
The outlook for next year is very, very poor. Most forecasts point to a bigger contraction in the European or the EU economy than the US economy next year. The governments are under huge pressure to do something to lessen the severity of the economic downturn.
The EU will recommend increasing public investment and helping out the automobile and construction sectors. Brussels also wants to lower some taxes, such as on labor and environmentally friendly goods. And strict budget deficit rules will likely be eased temporarily, so nations can spend more to boost their economies. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Toyota can't even escape the economic doldrums. Japan's biggest automaker had its pristine credit rating downgraded from AAA to AA, thanks in part to tanking automobile sales. Toyota stock tumbled. Asian markets were mixed. Japanese shares were lower. The Nikkei dropped more than 110 points, but the Hang Seng finished higher, and so did the Chinese market. European shares are lower, 2 to 3%. American markets closed pretty much flat, with the Dow and S&P stocks up a few, NASDAQ down a few. Seems like the past year has been a time of toy recalls, choking dangers, fire dangers, and the big one, Chinese-made toys putting kids at risk. Here we go again with holiday toy time. Have things changed? Not so much. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Last year's spate of toy recalls prompted Congress to pass the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act. The law is supposed to clamp down on lead levels in toys, as well as toxic chemicals called phthalates used in some plastics. But it doesn't go into effect until February. Liz Hitchcock is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group.
It's really buyer beware this holiday shopping season.
So how are parents supposed to tell if a toy is potentially dangerous? Hitchcock admits it's tough from outside the box.
We think that if they have any suspicion that the paint on a toy is cheaply made or the toy itself is kind of shoddily made, that they just not buy it.
She says parents should avoid toys made out of more malleable, softer plastic. She says it's the chemicals in that type of plastic that can harm children's development. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, President-elect Obama introduced a new economic team, as we talked about earlier, and revealed a plan for economic recovery. We're hearing about another stimulus package. But is that what the country needs right now, more government spending? Commentator Robert Reich says, without a doubt, yes.
The economy has just about come to a standstill, not because credit markets are clogged, but because there's not enough demand in the economy to keep it going. Consumer spending is down, investment is drying up, and exports are dropping. Government is the spender of last resort, which means we need a stimulus package of about $600 billion, this time focused on repairing the nation's crumbling infrastructure, helping states maintain services, and investing in new green technologies to wean the nation off oil. It's a whopping sum, but spending that puts Americans back to work and invests in future productivity. That's exactly what the economy needs right now. Fiscal hawks will claim the government is already spending way too much. Even without the stimulus package, next year's budget deficit will run over $1 trillion, given what's being spent bailing out Wall Street. The hawks also worry about aging post-war baby boomers, causing Social Security and Medicare costs to skyrocket. What the hawks don't understand is that when the economy has so much underutilized capacity, unemployment soaring, factories idled, office space empty, government spending that pushes the economy to fuller capacity will of itself shrink future deficits. Meanwhile, conservative supply-siders are calling for income tax cuts, claiming that people with more money in their pockets will get the economy moving again more readily than can government. They are wrong, too. Tax cuts go mainly to upper-income people who tend to save rather than spend. Even if a rebate could be fashioned for the middle class, it wouldn't do much good because, as we saw the last time around, people tend to use extra cash to pay off debts rather than buy goods and services. Besides, individual purchases won't guarantee and generate as many American jobs as spending on infrastructure and social services, because much of what we as individuals buy comes from abroad. The real challenge is for government to avoid having the stimulus money go to pork projects like Bridges to Nowhere. That requires a true capital budget that lays out the nation's priorities rather than the priorities of powerful Washington interest groups.
Robert Reich is a professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent book is called Super Capitalism. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.